Eventually, the ranks of the oppressed swelled to the point where a new argument was needed: multiculturalism. Here the similarities with German fascist thought become most apparent. Isaiah Berlin famously argued that fascism was the progeny of the French reactionary Count Joseph de Maistre. Berlin was clearly exaggerating de Maistre's influence. Both Nazis and Italian fascists explicitly rejected de Maistre, but his argument nonetheless helps us understand how fascism and identity politics overlap and interact. Inherent to the Enlightenment is the idea that all mankind can be reasoned with. The philosophers argued that men all over the world were each blessed with the faculty of reason. It was the European right which believed that mankind was broken up into groups, classes, sex, races, nationalities, and other gradations in the great chain of being. Reactionary de Maistre railed against the notion that there were any universal rights of man. In his most famous statement on the subject, he declared, "Now there is no such thing as man in this world. In my life, I have seen Frenchmen, Italians, Russians, and so on. I even know, thanks to Montesquieu, that one can be Persian. But as for man, I declare I've never encountered him. If he exists, I don't know about it." De Maistre meant that we are all prisoners of our racial and ethnic identities. He didn't mention gender, but that likely went without saying. Indeed, there is less difference between today's identity politics and the identity politics of the fascist past than anyone realizes. As one fascist sympathizer put it in the 1930s, our understanding struggles to go beyond the fatal error of believing in the equality of all human beings and tries to recognize the diversity of peoples and races. How many college campuses hear that kind of rhetoric every day? Today, it is the left that says there's no such creature as man. Instead, there are African Americans, Hispanics, and Native Americans. Left-wing academics speak of the permanence of race, and a whole new field of whiteness studies has sprouted up at prominent universities and colleges dedicated to beating back the threat of whiteness in America. The sociologist Andrew Hacker decries white logic, and a host of other scholars argue that blacks and other minorities underperform academically because the subject matter in our schools represents white supremacist thinking. Black children reject schoolwork because academic success amounts to acting white. This welter of nonsense enshrines and empowers a host of collectivist notions that place the state at the center of managing the progress of groups. Those who oppose this agenda get clubbed over the head with the charge of racism. For example, the Seattle Public School System recently announced that emphasizing individualism as opposed to a more collective ideology is a form of cultural racism. Indeed, the case for enlightened principles of individualism and reason itself is deemed anti-minority. Richard Delgado, a founder of critical race theory, writes, "If you're black or Mexican, you should flee enlightenment-based democracies like mad, assuming you have any choice."
This is the end of the CD. The program continues on the next CD.